Okay. You're listening to Potential Cast Season 7, Episode 1, Lessons. As Giles works with Willow in England, Buffy accompanies Dawn to her first day at the new Sunnydale High and receives two surprises, a job offer and Spike. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
Gabby's not here, but I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Tammy.
Hey, Tammy!
Hello!
Welcome to our little show.
Thanks. And in honor of Gabby, since she can't be here, I'm drinking rum chata.
Oh.
It's one of her favorite alcohols.
Now, is that from Season 3 of X-Files, rum chata?
Yeah, it was an episode about Latin dancing.
It is the forbidden drink.
Is it a type? Is it a brand or a mixed drink?
It is like a brand, but it's basically rum with horchata.
What's horchata? Like, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, it's like a Latin dairy-based drink. So it's like a creamy rum. If you drink it with root beer, it tastes exactly like a root beer float. It is delightful.
That's awesome. Well, more on that later. Hey, we're in season 7.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're out of that dreary.
Yes.
Boring, depressed. Not boring, but depressing season 6.
It was a little bit boring.
Yeah.
There were times it was boring. I mean, you know, the highlights were the last 3 or 4 episodes and once more with feeling.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
You know.
Well, I feel like with Lessons, it's a fresh start.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you guys something.
Tell us.
I hated this episode.
What?
God why damn you.
Except, why did you hate it?
Except the last scene. The last scene was amazing. I'm sure we'll go into great detail about it later, but I was so bored the first.
Well, let me tell you.
Minutes.
Usually I hate this episode because, and I know it's because of Supernatural, because I've seen the what's it called, the talisman. I've seen that on Supernatural so many times that I feel like that this is nothing. And also, like somebody emailed in and said who made the talisman, like there's no explanation for where it came from. I thought that the ghosts were gonna be like more, there would be more of that, more involved, that they would be people that she didn't help,
right.
There would be more to that, and there wasn't, so that always let me down, but listening to the commentary, I grew to appreciate this episode more. So I'll let you know what I heard.
Well, as soon as they reintroduce Sunnydale High, I'm like, oh, is Buffy going to be some sort of guidance youth counselor?
Really?
I was like, oh, here we go.
Really?
And I was like, what excuse are we going to have for her being at Sunnydale High the entire season? Oh, there it is. And then I'm like, why is she walking around there like she owns the place? And why is no one telling her to get the hell off of the school property because she's not a student? But hey, I understand.
And why is it somebody telling her to cover her midriff?
Oh, I love that outfit so much. Her little midriff can show. I love
that's
that outfit.
That's a cute outfit. I'd wear that today. I was thinking about that. I'm like, this is a nice little outfit she got going on.
Xander in a suit is just wrong.
Creepy, eh? I'm like, why is Xander the most grown up? For sure.
Well, because what? He's a foreman now?
Yeah.
You know he ain't no architect.
No.
Ugh.
Well,
but
they
wait.
Have a reason for him to have the blueprints for Sunnydale, right?
Yeah.
For the high school. True. Anyways, go on.
We have to go back to the very first scene.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's training day, baby.
The first scene with Buffy and Dawn or the girl.
Random girl.
Oh, in Istanbul or Constantinople. for Istanbul.
Yeah. And so these like monk things were chasing her and
hooded figures.
Her? Or did she get away? No, she got stabbed.
I thought it was like this is either a new Slayer or this is a flashback to a previous Slayer. I don't know. Well, it's
she got a Slayer vibe from her just because she was a chick.
Yep. All chicks that run like that and wear those kind of boots are Slayers. Because she was kind of kicking ass climbing up that pipe, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's not like your normal mortal.
Or she's not the Slayer. She's going to be the Slayer. Also, or to take over from Buffy or something theory. Like that. Or, I don't know.
I have a theory that I think I can expound upon more when we discuss episode 2. Because of what happens at the beginning of that one. But I'm going to hold off on that. But I think that my theory is, of course, the best. Yes.
Yes. Probably.
But yeah.
You mean the Alias ripoff?
I never watched that show.
That's what most people thought.
I never watched that show, actually.
I did not watch it either.
Hmm. I know Jennifer Garner was in it.
And that's why I don't watch it.
Yeah. I watched that show, and I stopped watching it with maybe, like, I don't know, 6 episodes to go.
What?
I can't even be bothered to finish it because it just went from the greatest to the absolute worst.
Really?
But this is not an Alias podcast.
No, it's not.
I think I watched most of the first season. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyways. And then, yeah, and so Buffy is... So now Dawn is a full-fledged Scooby. Buffy's trying to teach Dawn how to protect herself and use the power of the vampire against itself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about power.
Right. And who has it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't be deluded. And poor guy, he gets kind of stuck.
I love that he gets stuck.
Yep.
Yeah. Josh says that they have to, like, they have to make fun of themselves. They have to, what do you call it? Flip the situation. What is it?
Flip the script?
No, what is it called?
Juxtapose?
No,
Fizzle Fazzle? Pardon?
Take the piss?
Make fun of themselves anyway. To let them
are you
know
taking the piss?
Having a laugh?
Thanks for nothing!
You having a laugh? Okay, let's go on.
And so Josh said, what's the scariest thing he could think of to put at the end of the teaser? It was Sunnydale High School.
Yeah, yeah. That's very scary. Mm.
So this new principal.
Yes.
Ooh, Principal Wood.
I found it weird that he introduced himself to Buffy and Dawn. And no other students.
Are you suspicious of him?
I'm very suspicious of him.
Though, I think you're being racist, Kim.
Why would he?
We finally have a person of color, and you immediately assume that he's suspicious. I'm very disappointed.
It would have been anybody. Any principal that would introduce just himself to a pair of people.
Mm-hmm.
And why he would... Because to me, Buffy looks pretty young. And why would he assume that she was Dawn's caregiver? If I saw Buffy walking around that school, I would think she was a student, to tell you the truth.
Really? I would think she was a teacher lost.
Really? No. I think she could pass for a student. Still looking pretty young. And I didn't like how they had the running, you know, mom hair, mom joke. I was like, ugh, please. But anyways.
What the hell is mom hair? I don't understand.
But I don't know. Her hair looked... I thought it looked pretty chic.
Whatever it is, I hope I don't have it.
Me too. I really try hard.
Mom hair is like 40-year-old hair. When Kate Gosselin had that short hair when it was like long at the front. And then
it was like trying to be a pixie, but it's not because it's mom hair.
I'm assuming you're speaking English. I'll just smile and nod.
Yeah. It's an internet meme that says, can I speak to the manager here?
I think you mean a meme, right?
Are they memes?
They're memes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But there's a YouTube video of someone going, why are you using that meme all the time? It's really funny.
Well, I think when I first saw Principal Wood way back in the day, all I thought was, ooh, Principal Wood, I hope he sticks around. He's so pretty.
I remember him from 24 as being the president's brother.
Oh, yeah.
So what year was 24? That was like after this. So I wonder if David Fury got him the gig. Must have been there. Yeah.
Because he knew Buffy's background. I was like, why does he care about Buffy? He's not a student there. So obviously, I think he's going to... something's got to unfold suspicious with him later. Yeah, just like any new character that introduces themselves.
I think he's a red herring.
You think so?
I think that we're supposed to think that he's the big bad, but I think there's something else coming. Something rumbling. Something coming.
But why does he know about all the stuff that goes at Sunnydale? And why is he the one that volunteered to be the principal there?
Maybe he didn't volunteer.
He was just the one on a long list of people
and everyone said no thanks. he didn't decline. Oh, I guess he kind of volunteered by not declining. I think you're right there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and he's like, everybody knows about Sunnydale. And he's like, oh, I'll work there.
I might get eaten by some hyena kids. But I'll be okay.
Well, he didn't know, they didn't tell the actor he said, so am I good or bad? Oh. And they said, just act really charming.
Oh.
And they said they've never told the actors anything. They didn't, Ben and Glory, they said that they didn't tell Ben and Glory.
Oh, wow.
The deal was with him.
Wait a second. Are you saying there's a connection between Ben and Glory? No, seriously, is there?
Ben is Glory. Glory is Ben.
Are you all high?
Okay, Willow and Giles in actual England. That is
England?
Stewart, that is.
Anthony Stewart Head's house.
What?
Oh, nice.
Yep. What?
That's his horse.
And his horse in his big country backyard. That's cute.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I said it was raining pouring down the entire time.
I thought at the beginning that they were, because of course I'm always trying to think of like the crossovers with Angel, that they were like where Lauren used to live.
Oh.
I was like, what are they doing there? But then no.
Oh.
It was not there.
Very cool. Yeah, so Willow.
Why were they in England?
Just because they had to get away.
Oh, yeah, they had to get away from the
coven of good witches.
Mm-hmm.
So Willow was kind of like
teaching Willow how to be good again.
Yeah,
I think so.
And what did Giles tell her? Did Giles tell her that she was not addicted?
Yeah, he said it's not an addiction. Thank God. Because it's in her now, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's her responsibility to control it. Or whatever he said.
Yeah.
We are who we are, no matter how much we appear to have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed Anya's hair, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's dark.
And shorter.
She's better blonde.
Agreed.
Did they do that because Buffy had it in her contract she could be the only blonde?
Yeah. I don't know. That'd be
awful. Well, you know, she's more evil now, I guess, so darker hair, maybe.
Maybe. Good call.
Hmm.
Did anyone else crack up when the duo in the coffee shop started singing?
Oh man, that was the worst.
Well, yeah, Joss mentioned that on the commentary. He says, okay, this lady has a lovely voice and you expect this gentleman to have a deep.
When he started singing, I laughed so hard.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
His voice is higher than hers. Mm-hmm. It was the best.
But they said that Callie flew in. She was doing Noises Off on Broadway, and she flew in on Monday to do a few scenes and then fly right back out.
Hmm.
Cool.
That scene always makes me uncomfortable when those two people start singing. Stop. Stop singing.
So what else happened?
And Joss says that Emma is the most natural comedian he's ever worked with.
What? Her timing is great. I like her a lot.
Well, did we ever talk about the movie Timer?
No.
Nope.
It's a little sci-fi movie that stars her, and Callie is in it also.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute little movie where, like, you wear a watch. Have you seen it, Tammy?
No, I haven't. It keeps popping up on my Netflix, so I should watch it.
Does it count down to tell you when you're going to meet the love of your life, your soulmate? Am I confusing that with something else? Anyway, it's cute.
Okay.
Look for it. Oh, they talk about Kalgosh. That there was a joke in the past that Jane Espenson wrote about a vengeance demon making somebody fall in love with President McKinley. And it was Kalgosh, the guy who assassinated McKinley. It was a big... That's a nerdy joke right there.
That's hilarious.
Went right over my head. I didn't get it at all.
Yeah. Buffy makes the best breakfasts.
She puts the cereal by the milk. Or
yeah, that's exactly right. Xander subscribes to this. Gentlemen, when you're wearing a suit jacket with three buttons, from top to bottom, it's always, sometimes, never.
Right.
All right?
Oh, didn't have them all buttoned.
Always button the top, sometimes button the middle, never button that bottom button. Xander was doing pretty well.
Until.
Yeah. So, Buffy goes to the washroom, or bathroom, whatever you people want to call it.
Washroom, the there's lavatory. No bath in there.
Exactly. And there's a little thing. It looks like a little voodoo doll. And then all of a sudden it gets knocked out of her hand because some freaky Scooby-Doo type ghoul
that was
appears
scary.
Behind Buffy. And the one that I loved was the janitor going, get out, get out, get out, get out.
Mm-hmm.
That I really
just
laughed
said he
at
was
that.
Doing cats.
I love that. I loved it because he was basically channeling his inner Don.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a little nod to, you know, one of the greatest lines ever. And then all of a sudden they disappear. And I did not. Can you guys sit down for a second? I really, really like Dawn this episode.
Yeah, she's confident. Yeah.
Well, I think they aged her up this episode.
I say, plus she's grown up a lot.
Yeah, the she wore a black Argyle sweater. It was a lot of black in it. Because they never would let her wear black or colors, dark colors. She had to wear colors and light colors to keep her looking youthful. And they said that it was like 100 degrees that day she was wearing that sweater.
Yeah,
but you know, but she physically has grown up as well because, like, they even said, "Oh, I'm taller than you now."
That's true.
She doesn't look like she's 12. She looks like she's like 25.
Really? I wouldn't put her that old. But no. she was killing it in that introduce yourselves bit.
Yeah,
she had the beating out of the palm of her hand, and then her stupid sister runs in, ruins everything. And then someone has to borrow a pencil and all hell breaks loose. I love that moment so much.
Yeah, Josh said the mission statement is do something scary. He said because the horror always takes a backseat to characters. Mm-hmm. He says that there's always a struggle because the other characters, they're in love and they're being noble and struggling. And I mean, but that's why we love the show is because it's so... character based.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has to remind himself to that this is supposed to be a horror show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, if we could back up for a second, that guy that was playing basketball in the hallway or whatever, when they gave us that quick cut of him walking away and through a doorway, I thought it was Oz. Just from the back of the, really? Just from the hairline of the back of the neck. I thought, oh, wait a second, is that? And that, well, of course it's not, you know?
I thought back to Angel.
Mm.
Because I remember you guys said something that, like, when they first came up with concepts for the show, they wanted Angel to be Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, maybe this is what they wanted to
this
do.
This is with Angel.
Yes. So that's immediately what I thought.
Yeah.
I just thought of Angel right away.
Very yeah, cool. Well, along those lines, Robin Wood, the reason his name is Robin is because they didn't know if he was going to be female or male. They didn't know.
Oh. I thought it was a play on Robin Hood. I'm serious.
Robin would what? What would
An
Robin
evil,
do?
Evil Robin Hood. Robin Hood.
Tammy, are you being racist now? Because this is like totally uncool.
No.
That's me.
Last. Yeah. No. That dead janitor saying, get out, get out, get out, is like one of the highlights for me in this episode. I absolutely adored that bit. And Halfrick.
Yes.
I really still around enjoy Halfrick.
I love how Halfrick's basically telling Anya that she has no friends.
Yep.
And Anya's like, oh, what a sad sack. She's just miserable. And later on, we see her dealing with a potential client, quote unquote, and she's just miserable. Aw.
How did she get to this point?
Yeah.
Not by her own.
Is there any hope for her, really? Like, is she really going to be able to, like, move on?
No.
Because she was so focused on Xander. You know?
Yeah, but I think that's what Halfrick's trying to do, is to kind of snap her out of it and be like, look, this is, you're at ground zero. This is it. Bottom of the barrel for you, so.
Well, how old is Anya?
Thousands of years old.
Yeah, and so this is like a blip for her. She'll snap out of it.
She's never really mortal, though, right?
This is like 10 minutes of her life.
Yeah, but it really hurts her because she was mortal.
Even if she holds this grudge for Xander's entire life, say he lives to be 80 years old, that's still a blip in her entire lifespan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I suppose. And then, unfortunately, Dawn gets, you know, I guess stabbed in the eye, but not really. And so she has one of, you know, hey, it's my first day. Let's do something horrible.
That was a really crazy scene.
Yeah. Her flipping out and falling on the floor was amazing.
Yeah. From the guy leaning forward, can I get a borrow a pencil? I was like, this guy's weird.
You don't know the half of it, Kim.
But yeah, and so I was confused because I thought that maybe these ghosts, in quotations, were just going after Buffy and Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
I mean, as soon as I saw an interaction between this ghost and Dawn, I was like, okay. Because at first I thought it was just Buffy. Because mm-hmm. they're like, you never saved us, and now we're going to get you back. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, that I understood. But then when Dawn was implicated, I'm like, well, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were just kind of lame demons.
Yeah.
Followed by somebody who's never named. It's got a talisman just hanging out in the bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Restroom. Washroom.
But Buffy, as a slayer in dealing with that, as soon as she saw that, she should just be like, okay, I'm going to crack this in half because I know it's bad. They wouldn't have had to deal with any of this.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have an episode, and then she wouldn't have found Spike in the basement.
S.O.D.
Exactly.
I've got a song that I need to send to you, Illyrio, to play later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, hijinks ensue. They're in a basement. I find it odd that they ask. The guy says, I just came down here for a smoke. First of all, you idiot, smoke rises. Second of all, Second of all, they said down where, and instead of saying the basement, he says, I don't know. And then later, Dawn pulls out her weapon, and I was like, yes, I knew it. It's a cell phone. And then it was a flip phone, and I went, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
This show is so old.
I wrote down, finally, cell phones are introduced. How is this going to change how...
I think it was a Motorola C60 or MC60 or something. Anyway.
Yeah, so Josh says that they have resisted cell phones all this time because it would just make things too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where is Buffy going to keep a phone? She has no pockets.
Big cell holsters.
Well, they discussed a leather...
No.
Strap on her boot or something. Yeah, they mixed that.
Just be like every other girl who shoves their phone in their bra.
Mm. Thank you.
That's a thing, Illyrio.
And I did like that it was commented on.
I know what a bra is.
No, but 90% of girls put their phone in their bra.
Really?
At some point in time.
I'm just telling you, it's a thing.
That's interesting.
My phone is too big now to put in my bra. It would like look super awkward.
I've known girls who put guitar picks in their bras. And then they forget about them.
Oh, everyone, all my friends, like, where's your phone? They all go start digging into their bras and pull out their phone.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think your friends are quite impressive, frankly.
It's okay. Okay, so what do you think about Carlos and Kit?
Who?
Dawn's new Scooby friends.
His name is Carlos?
Carlos and Kit.
Her name is Kit?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Is she a talking
car?
She was
on American Horror Story, and I did not recognize her.
Hmm. I thought she was, what's her name, Phil? Again, I was thinking of Angel.
Phil?
Is that her name, Phil? The librarian chickie?
Fred?
Fred! Phil or Fred? Because when I thought, oh, she's on this show now, but then it wasn't the same person. They look similar. Mm-hmm.
Now, who it is? Okay, like the first season of American Horror Story, the sexy maid that was the younger version of. Yeah. That's who that is.
Oh, really?
With the red hair.
That's who it is.
Oh, she looks very different.
Very different.
For her.
Yeah.
So his name is Carlos, huh? It's not Jesus?
No, it's Carlos.
Okay.
At the end when the principal and Buffy were having their little I'm gonna hire you for penance, he's like, yeah, you got away with Carlos and Kit.
Hmm. Okay. I guess I just missed their names. I think it's cool that Dawn made friends. I think that sharing a traumatic experience is not the best basis for a long-lasting friendship. But hopefully they can make something
out of it. One of the ghosts said something foreshadowing, well, we picked you three because no one would miss you if you were gone.
Which is true, because it's not like anyone went looking for Dawn after she left class to go to the bathroom and never came back.
Well, isn't that the way they just treat you in high school, though? They just let you roam free. I don't know. I don't remember high school very much. I think I don't think they let us roam free, but I wonder why wouldn't they go after Dawn? I don't know. This principal guy is a little suspicious, but I
oh really? Who's the racist now?
I think no, I'm kidding. He's not. I think he's not suspicious. Bad. I think he's suspicious. He knows more, and he might be there. As like a good guy anticipating something.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like Buffy is.
But I think he knows more than Buffy.
Ah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like he's been studying her.
Or he's been made aware of the situation.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and he's been told, okay, you got to be there because the Slayer's going to be there. Make sure that you hire her because you're going to need her next to you. And yeah, I don't think he wants to keep her close because he wants to harm her. I think he wants her close because he needs her set of special skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it's about. Because, come on, she'd make a shitty counselor.
Yeah.
But she's an awesome slayer.
Yeah, he wants her there so he can keep an eye on her more than anything, like he said. So we haven't talked about the crazy wackadoo that Spike has turned into.
Oh my god!
We haven't even touched on that.
Well, I'd like to talk about that in comparison to when we saw the short amount of time that we got to see Angel right after he got his soul.
I don't even remember that
bit.
He
was super tortured and super awful, and he was chasing rats to suck their blood and eat them. So it's like, I think there might be something like that happening.
He's completely lost his marbles. What's going on here? I was like, what is happening, and why does his hair look so bad?
I thought his hair looked good, actually.
Yeah, I did too. Job. I like it long.
I'm like, he's nuts. I'm like, what happened? And I'm like, he tried to cut out his own heart? Like, what? What? It was absolutely crazy. I was confused by the scene. I was like, am I missing something?
But yeah, well, they wanted him to look like, you know, that he'd been gone for a while. Mm-hmm. So they wanted his hair grown out. But they said, oh, we know Joss will hate this. And Joss said, yeah, he looks like Lana Turner. And so I had to Google Lana Turner. I didn't know what Lana Turner looked like.
What? She has Are gorgeous, you serious? He blonde, doesn't look like hair. Lana Turner.
Well, his hair is kind of
Justin Timberlake.
Unruly.
Yeah, I found it was more like, I didn't know it was grown out, because that's what I thought at first. But I'm like, do vampires' hair grow? Because we've never had to see them get haircuts. So I just thought maybe he didn't gel it back.
Does giving you a soul make your hair grow?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Or isn't hair one of those things that is supposed to keep growing until, like, even after you're dead?
But he's dead.
That's true.
Yeah, so maybe it's always grown, and maybe vampires always get haircuts?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm. No.
I can't wait for us to talk about that last scene.
Oh, okay, let's talk about it.
Oh, wait, let's go back to Kit and Carlos.
Okay.
I'm getting conflicting stories here.
From whom?
Well, they say that there was always talks of spinoffs.
There was going to be a Faith
spinoff. There was going to be a Giles spinoff. There were going to be an Oz spinoff. Everybody was going to have a spinoff. If Dawn had had a spinoff,
this would have been her crew?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
nobody would have watched it.
But Joss on the commentary says that, oh, the internet went crazy because they thought that this was going to be, where's my notes? Internet thought these new friends were going to be more important in the season than they ended up being. And also, I don't know where this came from, but Joss said that he had heard that an actor had to have his ears taped back because the light shot through his ears.
Who's this, Carlos?
No, he wouldn't say who it was. He just had heard that.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, they talked about how when Buffy went into the bathroom and saw the hole, she just jumped in the hole to go. That's how she got to the basement. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, because that's what Buffy does. Geronimo. She sees a hole, she jumps in it. That's how you know a hero. And then Joss said, then later on, Xander comes in and he's real careful. He you know, moves around the hole. And he said, that's how you find out a lot about a person by the way they deal with a hole.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Xander's defense, he was purposely looking for the talisman that was in the restroom. So,
yes.
If he jumped in the hole, that would have been a bad situation.
Yes. I'm surprised he didn't trip and fall into the hole.
Exactly. I even know what's going to happen, and I watched it last night going, don't fall, Xander, don't fall.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that last scene.
Oh, my God. As soon as I saw Warren, I was like, no, this is the worst thing ever. And then all of a sudden I saw...
But then when he morphed into Gloria, I was like oh, what the fuck?
This is going to be so awesome. And then all of a sudden it was Adam.
Yep.
And I was like, wait a second. Oh, what's going on really? And then I saw the mayor. The mayor. He was so great.
He was the greatest.
He had like one or two little lines. He was on screen for maybe 10, 15 seconds, but boy, he stole that episode. And then
I thought it was so good.
And then we get to Drew, and I'm like, oh, so Drew's there? So I'm like, is there someone with him or not? Is this all in his head?
I don't know, but it's friggin' fascinating.
Then we go to the master.
Oh, yeah, and then the master, of course. Sorry.
The master before Drew. I thought,
why do I always forget him?
The master.
Well, and then it's on Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does end on Buffy.
You're right.
It's very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, and just in the opening credits, you know how it, in season six, it Buffy's the last person that we see in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not her. That's the Buffy bot.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, season five? That was season six.
Season six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now with these credits, it ends on that shot, and that's not really Buffy.
It's an imaginary Buffy.
It's something.
Interesting.
I'm very, very excited for the rest of the season.
Yeah, because when he says we have to go back to the beginning... And I was like, oh, shit, it's the master. But then we saw Drew after. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
It goes amazing. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, it was Drew and then the master and then Buffy.
Oh, it was Drew before the master?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I thought Drew was after the master. No. Sorry.
And the mayor, Harry... whatever his name is, he was on Broadway too, and they filmed his shot like 3 weeks later because Spike's hair is a little different.
Okay.
Oh, it was so good.
It was so awesome. Yeah, and Buffy has a job that doesn't involve fake meat.
And I like that Principal Wood says he's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Just because they...
And she could have been like, so you can eat there.
Exactly. But yeah. She still held that secret tight, guys.
I know.
She still held it tight.
She's awesome. Worthy. Loose lips.
That confidentiality clause in her paperwork documents.
NDA.
Huh. Does anyone else notice the fighting scenes were particularly weak?
What?
Well, they talked about how it's hard to, you know, after all this time, coming up with some interesting fighting scenes.
I mean, not the content of the fighting, that doesn't matter, but I mean like the editing between like Buffy and Stuffy. Before it was better, but this one she's just like I don't care about throwing my arm up, and it just looked like she was in slow motion when her stunt double was like...
Well, I get the feeling that the bag foo was it sounded like they brought people in to teach them how to fight in that style, and Sarah just said, here, just give me the bag, let me just see what I can do, and she just kind of free-formed it.
Yeah, because she was just like, I noticed the transition between her and her stunt double was much more apparent.
Hmm.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
I just know that when I was in fifth grade, I beat a sixth grader up with my book bag. So I didn't think it was that hard.
I just don't think they had a lot of room.
Was this
your inspiration? It just
looked so tight. No, okay, but if only I were that young. No.
Oh, okay.
I did my bag foo fighting well before Buffy. He was beating up on my brother, so I wouldn't beat up on him until he stopped beating up on my brother.
Good job.
Thank you. Not that I think everyone should resort to bag violence, but...
I do.
Crazy bag lady.
What did the master say mean when he said Spike was number 17?
Oh.
No, that was Adam.
He was hostile 17.
Adam, he was
or
hostile
Adam 17. Said she was 17. What does that mean?
Well, in that season, he was hostile 17.
That was the, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember these things.
Mm-hmm.
People forget about season four.
Season four was pretty good.
There are highlight episodes for me in that season, but as a whole, I'm like, meh.
I mean, that was the Beer Bad season, right?
Yes, I love that episode. That was the, I love that episode. Hush? I love Hush. There are a lot of standout episodes for me, but as a whole, I'm not fond of that.
Beer Bad. I think season four looked good.
Yeah.
That whole set where the initiative was, I thought that looked great. Mm-hmm. That was wide open and bright.
Mm-hmm.
Just like paramilitary.
Mm-hmm. Just the like all military infrastructure. Yeah, what we have here.
Should we do some feedback before?
Hey,
we
have a voicemail from Moira.
Ooh,
let me cue it up and vamp a little bit. Vamp, 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 vamp,
vamp, vamp. Remember, it's all about the power.
Season 7.
It did this again. That's weird. Okay. Like, and here's Moira.
Hey, potential cast. It's Moira. Fist bumps Moira. All around. We have made it to the final season of Buffy. Ooh, season 7. I feel like this is almost like a retro reboot of this series because we journeyed back to a new improved Sunnydale with its old Hellmouth roots. I think they've set this up that the Hellmouth is the big bad of this season in and of itself. At least that's how it feels to me. Not sure about the principal yet. He may turn out to be a straight shooter, or he may turn out to be not such a straight shooter, because some of the things he says just feel like he's talking sideways out of his mouth. I thought it was interesting to see that we skipped ahead several months, and we've got Xander looking pretty successful in his business. We've got Willow in some kind of witch R&R with, yay, Giles. I had a wish last time that Giles would never go away again, so I hope they keep on keeping Anthony Stewart head around, even if they want to keep calling him a special guest appearance. That's fine with me. I just want him to stick around. Anya is amusing in that she's the laughingstock of the demon community, which just goes to show you she's got this heart of gold inside, and I don't think she can really quite completely go back to her demonic ways. So I'm still holding out for her getting back together with Xander. I was surprised at how Spike was portrayed, because I was expecting him, yes, to have a soul, and yes, to have angst over all the horrid things he's done in the last couple hundred years, but I didn't expect him to seem so broken. And I've got to tell you, Sad Sack Spike makes me think a little bit about Broody Angel, and I didn't love Broody Angel, and I'm not loving Sad Sack Spike. Sorry. So I'm hoping this is a short-lived phase for him, and that he will man up at some point and turn back into a more interesting version of himself. Dawn isn't annoying me nearly as much as she has in the past. That makes me feel hopeful for this season. And I thought it was cool, that last sequence where we get to see a lovely walk through memory lane of all of our previous season's big bads. That was really fun. Really fun. It had me confused for a bit, because I'm not sure quite what device they're using here. So is this Spike's inner monologue going on? Is that what we're seeing? A la 6 feet under, you know? Or is this... I mean, there wasn't really somebody with him, so I'm assuming it's the inner dialogue. I hope so, anyway. But I liked seeing all of our previous evil people. Except in the end, when it turns into Buffy saying it's all about power, I don't quite know what to make of that. I would be interested to hear what you guys think about that. Is that a reflection on her? Is that a reflection on how Spike views her? Am I looking too deeply at this? I don't know. Anyway, excited for this season. I think it's fun. It's fun to start again. All right, that's it for now. And, I'm going to give this, I guess, an 8 out of 10. Resurrected High Schools. Till next time. Bye.
Thank you, Moira.
Hey.
Nice.
Hey, we have some emails.
We do?
Carol says, Gax! Congratulations on getting to season 7! I really enjoyed your last few podcasts. Not that I didn't enjoy your earlier ones, but it is good to hear some season six love. Random female killed in a foreign land. What do you think that's about?
She was killed?
Well, she was stabbed, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yep.
Or she got thrown off a roof?
She got thrown off a roof and then stabbed.
Oh, they're just being efficient and thorough.
Exactly.
They cut before she was stabbed, so I thought that, she lives.
You guys are right. Dawn is getting trained. Hey, that does put her in a constant danger, so your hopes and dreams for her might yet come to pass. Buffy is still on the overprotective side, but as someone who, against my better judgment, had to send my son to the same hell-spawned high school that I went to, I do understand her feelings of dread and worry for her sister. We are back to the high school as hell metaphor. An oldie, but such a truey. Willow is in England and feeling guilty. Another prediction fulfilled. In case no one mentioned it, the property is Anthony Stewart's heads. His home in England, including the horse. Anya is Miss Soft Serve with Halfrick as her only demon friend. What is this about? There's a new principal in town. I hope he makes out better than the last two. And then there is Spike. I understood that they would not tell James Marsters what was going on with Spike's quest, so he played it as though he wanted the chip out. I think that was one of the big mistakes of the series. I wish they had trusted him. The guy has shown himself to be a wonderful actor. If they had told him what was going on and they wanted it to be a mislead that if you watched again would be seen differently, I believe he could have pulled it off. As it is, when I watch it, everything says he wants the chip out. In my opinion, that is because that is what James Marsters thought and he sells it. I really wish they had trusted him.
He's too good of an actor.
I really wish they had trusted him to try and make it better than a cheap mislead. By the way, the first time I saw it, I thought the demon had fooled Spike too, but the mayor does indicate Spike did it on purpose. Speaking of the mayor, that last few minutes is pretty interesting. I'm sure it has been noted that there are villains that appear in order latest to earliest, with Buffy before the Master. What's that about? On a sad note, I'm sure you mentioned the passing of Bob DeGrand. We haven't yet. I was about to.
Yeah.
But I could not ignore it. We have been discussing Buffy on forums for years, and he was very supportive of the McKinley cast. He will be missed. Thank you all for keeping this going all these years, Carol. Thank you, Carol.
Uh-huh.
Yes, for those of you who may not be on the Facebook group, I don't understand why not, because there's something clearly wrong with you. Friend of the show, former guest, and consistent feedbacker, Bob DeGrand, passed away this week. And we will miss him.
Most definitely.
Yes.
Quite a shock, but yes.
Ashley writes in, Gax, you've made it to season 7. The final lap. How do you feel? Right now I'm a little tired, but okay. Okay, onto the episode, yeah? New season, new beginnings, also new Sunnydale High School. That's right, folks. We're going right back to the... Wait, I'm almost sure that a quote in this episode... Oops. Dawn starting the new local high school that was built in the same spot as the last one. You know, the one on top of the Hellmouth? Only this time it's under the principal's office instead of the library. I'm glad that they showed Buffy training Dawn, which to me was something she should have been doing. But anyways... We got some Gillow over England because Willow had been a very bad girl. Poor Anya, once known as one of the greatest vengeance demons, now doesn't even have enough friends to stage an intervention. Oh, I didn't think of it that way. Oh, no. That's so sad. Oh, yes, that's depressing, Ashley says. Spike is back at his being crazy soul boy in the basement. I just had a flash of Spike singing soul music. I had the basement creepy, skipping the main plot now. I bet no one saw that ending coming. I wish there was commentary just to hear the what-the-fuck reactions from a gag. I love how the words fit each villain so perfectly, even though it was one speech. How each part of the speech related to each villain, from Warren being misogynistic towards Buffy, referring to her as just some girl, to the Glory referring to herself as being something beyond a real description or a simple name, Adam being patient and feeling everything going exactly the way he's planning it to, the mayor discussing Spike's soul, and then Drusilla being a weakness for Spike and how she'll always have ownership on him no matter what, the Master being the first big bad, talks about the beginning and talking down to Spike, although we've never seen a scene with them two together. I could imagine the Master's disappointment of what's become of his bloodline when, you know, concerning Spike. Finally, you've got Buffy, the Slayer, ending it with power. Nothing more to be said about that, I guess. It was all just so perfect to me. One of my favorite speeches of the series, by the way. Also one of my favorite episode endings. Oh yeah, some chick got stabbed in Istanbul by some hooded whatevs. Honestly, I'm not really fond of the plot of this episode, although I get where they were going with it. New school with the old school feel. I get it. But it wasn't terrible, and the beginning and ending make up for it. Also, hot new principal is a plus. I give this 7 out of 10 returning big bads. Oh, nice.
Nice one.
I don't like that. Brent! Brent says, here we are, finally, season 7 is upon us. I'm not tired of reading those, by the way. I'm very happy we're in season 7. It seems like only yesterday that you embarked on this tumultuous journey. Yesterday? Like 5 years ago this summer. Who would have thought it would only take 30 years? Oh, Brent, you made a funny. I ruined it by interrupting. There's a lot to love about the final season and a few things to hate. The good far outweighs the bad. The show just feels different. It needed season 6 to grow up, and now it's ready to take life head on. First of all, Dawn is less annoying. You guys don't like her because you shouldn't. Teenage girls are the worst. So in that respect, she has been spot on. The show takes itself a little less seriously in season 7. I think the people that shit on the show, on this season, don't really understand Buffy at all. Oh, hey now, I don't want to start any feuds. I don't have any time for those people. Oh, Brent, I can't wait to see what happens 5 years from now when you finish and reach your full potential. It would be much funnier if your podcast is named, if why your podcast is named what it is never got answered at all. But alas, you will finally find out. This has been Brent. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Oh, I get it now.
What?
Our full potential.
I'm going to save it for the next episode.
Okay.
Because we're not supposed to have seen it yet.
All right.
Haven't seen it yet, right?
That's right.
What?
I watched it 2 hours ago, so I'm okay.
What?
I get it. I think I get what potential means.
But wait a second. Wait a second. Hold on now. Kim, how many episodes did you watch today?
2.
So did I.
I watched... Well, I actually only watched 1. No, but yeah.
That's weird. Okay, I guess I wasn't paying enough attention.
I get it.
Missy Poole writes us. Hey, Gex. Run, random girl, run. By the way, I can't wait for us to talk about episode 2 and how I really want to know if this season aired after the movie Run, Lola, Run came out. But anyway.
Thank you.
Run, random girl, run.
That's what I said with Alias.
Pardon?
That's what I meant with Alien.
I didn't watch that show.
Anyways, we're
Run, Lola, Run.
Know about that.
What was released in 1998? Alias premiered in 2001, and this episode aired in 2002.
Ah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're
welcome. Well, frack, the Roby dudes got her. Aw, Buffy is teaching Dawn how to defend herself against vamps. It's a cute scene, funny jokes and stuff. Giles, Willow, beautiful country, England. Oh, Hallie, good friend you are, making Anya feel bad about not killing things. Xander is the head construction guy and finds a small issue. The new principal's office is where the library used to be. Also, Nick looks yummy in a suit. Lols, Buffy has mom hair. Kit! I remember hoping beyond hope that Kit, and to a smaller degree Carlos, would become, like, part of the group, because it would be fun to have new Scoobies, or for Dawn to have a Scooby gang, and I love Alexander Breckenridge. Robin Wood, not Hood. New principal has far too many questions for my liking. A cell phone is a weapon, kinda. Kudos, Sunnydale, for entering the 21st century, finally. Guys, it's Spike! Spike is back, and he seems a tad out of sorts, talking nonsense and gibberish, and he's hurt. He tried to cut out the soul. Poor Spikey. Hamnu? Buffy scored herself a job at the rebuilt Hellmouth. I mean, high school? And then the awesomeness happens. Warren, Glory, Adam, the Mayor, Drusilla, and the Master appear to tease and torture Spike, and let's be honest, us, the viewing audience. Apparently it's all about power. Thank you, Missy. Bruce. Wow. Okay. Here's Bruce's email. 7.1 lessons. Lesson 1. When in Sunnydale, stay out of the basement, including cellars, sewers, crypts, caves, and secret government installations. Lesson 2. When in Istanbul, get yourself a sword. Lesson 3. When in England, pay careful attention to Giles when he says that magic isn't an addiction for Willow. At least Giles wasn't around to get taken in by Amy's world-class mislead. Some viewers thought Joss's statement, written and directed by Joss Whedon, was Joss's way of sweeping Marty Noxon's addiction storyline away as if it never happened. After all, if Willow could simply stop using magic in Grave because Xander told her he loved her, she could have stopped using magic at any time. Unfortunately, some viewers never looked at that idea the other way around. Since Willow was able to stop when she wanted to, maybe she wasn't addicted at all. Makes more sense as the addiction storyline in season 6 was comprised almost entirely of characters talking about how badly Willow was addicted to using magic. Addiction can fit into the Willow story in a few spots, just like Buffy being depressed only because she was ripped out of heaven works for a while. And Xander could simply be a jackass for walking away from his wedding, but there are other motivations for each of them which work better. Reasons for their actions which fit all of season 6 and in fact the entire series. If you take season 6 at face value and enjoy it, that's great. If you want more than that, be sure to start peeling back the layers on rewatch and look for what's at the core of each of their stories. The same can be said of this episode. It does a good job of setting up season 7 while showing or saying one thing but meaning, or at least leaving open the possibility of meaning something else. Such as, what was Buffy trying to teach Dawn? The training is important, but I think the lesson was that Dawn is not a slayer, so she should understand her limitations and run. Leave the fighting up to the one with the power. Were the manifest spirits actually former students and a janitor, or were they just trying to mess with Buffy's head? During all the preparations for opening a new high school, did Principal Wood really have time to read the file of a former student and then hire her and be happy about it? Was the parade of big bads really there, or was that all in Spike's head? Who made the talisman? Does Sunnydale now have a talisman-making class? Principal Wood had access. Spike sure knew all about it. The girl from Istanbul? An unknown character? Does it even matter? Is it just a way to let us know that things at the new school are much like they were at the old school? Among the not-so-subtle questions, what's up with that girl in Byzantium? I mean Istanbul. And why does that parade of big bads end with Buffy? At least we don't have to wonder what this season is about. Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. We heard Moira's lovely voice, and our last bit of feedback, unless we get something coming in, is from Fry. Hey, Gax! I'm writing in for Lessons, the first episode of Season 7. I really like this one. It has a great suspense, and the zombies actually kind of creep me out. I like that they are going back to their roots, though I would have liked for them to mention that the school was being rebuilt in Season 6, the way they mentioned the mayor in Season 2 or UC Sunnydale in Season 3. What do you think of the opening scene? What's going on there? Spooky. The end of this one is possibly my favorite moment in the entire series. Anyway, keep up the good work. Can't wait till Redemption Cast comes back on.
I can't say for sure, but I want to say they kind of mentioned it last season that they were rebuilding the high school. Maybe not. I don't remember.
I honestly didn't care.
Thanks for the feedback, everyone.
I didn't care.
You want to send us an email? You can email us at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
You can call us. It's 270-40-BUFFY. I think it's still active. You can tweet at us at PotentialCast. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/PotentialCast. Go to PotentialCast.com. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, I think our RSS problems, which were caused mostly by me, are now solved. That would be on iTunes or any other podcatcher. And so thank you for sending in feedback. We look forward to reading and hearing more of it in the future.
Yes, please.
Any more points? I'd like to bring something up that was brought up in the feedback that I wanted to mention, and I just forgot. Who the hell built that talisman, made that talisman?
There's some things that there's... Okay, just like the opening scene, the girl in Istanbul, it's like... Why bring it up? I mean, I know it's going to lead to something later on, but it's just so arbitrary, and so there's nothing much there to tell you, and also it's so vague. Is what I'm trying to say. That's the word vague, mm-hmm. and just like the parade of big bads.
Hmm.
There's nothing there substantial yet for you to grasp onto, so it's hard for that to make any sense.
Okay. But to me, like, this season opener is so different than a lot of the other ones, just because in most season openers, it has nothing to do with anything else in the rest of the season. Hmm. It's just kind of to bring us back into the show, whereas this one I feel is... I mean, just by the end piece alone is trying to set up the entire season for you. Mm.
It is, but you don't know right now. You don't know what it.
You don't know what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tammy and Steph, did they know that this was the last season before they started it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Joss has even said that he could retitle the season Buffy Year One. He really came in with like a definite plan of what he wanted to do.
Cool. So there's actually a plan, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what a series wrap up kind of looks like from Joss Whedon.
Because so they knew going into this that this is they were going to wrap it up.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar quit. Correct, Tammy?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, that's what happened. She had decided she wasn't going to renew for any additional seasons.
Hmm. That's interesting. Cool. Huh.
And then there were hurt feelings.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like, she didn't tell anybody. Like,
no, I think other actors found out from, like, some interview or something. If I remember correctly.
Like Nicholas Brendan was very hurt.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Interesting.
Did she not want to do it because she wanted to do movies, or she was just tired?
Yeah, I think she was just like kind of tired of playing this character. Like, she loved this character, but at the same time, she was tired.
She's
and that's kind of what the, at least from my perspective, what I've seen online is like, it seemed like fans really kind of turned on Sarah Michelle Gellar a bit after that. But it's, you know, and that's why even now when she's been on award shows and she thanks, you know, the audience that watch Buffy and that kind of stuff, people are still like bitter over it. And I'm just like, you know, she's still an actress and she doesn't want to do this the rest of her life. Like, I feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I can understand this is a physically demanding job.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like 9 months of your year or 10 months of your year. So
people just need to get over it.
Yeah. Yep. Things end.
Yeah.
Well, when your show ends, you got to blame somebody.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we blame network executives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The suits.
As you should.
It's the suits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I have no more points. Anyone else?
Me neither.
Hey, I think it's rating time. Tammy!
Oh boy. I enjoy this episode, but it might be more nostalgia, just because I know what the setup is. I know what's going to happen with everything that's happened in this episode, you know? So I see things that I'm like, oh, and then that's going to happen. I'm so excited. So that could
excitement
be part of-
spoilers.
It's my favorite show. I'm going to be excited about like every episode,
yay,
except for Bad Eggs. I hate that episode. But besides that, everything else is good with me. So I think that that's probably why I enjoy this episode. Like when the end happened, first of all, I've been exhausted from working and I watched it late last night. So when the end of this episode happened, like I was practically in tears. And I happened to watch the next episode too, guys. I could have really stayed up and watched like all of season 7. But a little waterworks happened because I was just so like pumped. And I was just like, oh my God, I love this. And I love the morphing of the monsters. There's just a lot that I enjoy. And I also... I am part of the fandom that enjoys the first three seasons more than the end of this, like the last couple seasons, basically. Mm-hmm. So when this show, when it came out and when it aired and I watched it, I was excited we were back at the high school. I was excited it was a lighter episode. Season six, to me, not that it was horrible or bad, mm-hmm. but it is one of my least favorite seasons. Mm-hmm. And it really brought to me like the show and what I felt it was supposed to be down. And, you know, on rewatches, I get it, but it's still not something I just love. Whereas this, to me, this felt like a season one, a season two, something lighter, something more fun. And it is kind of jarring, though, watching the last episode of season six and then going to this episode. But I like that because I was happy season six was over. I am being the Gabby today of this podcast. So I give this episode 8 out of 10 Robin Hood, Robin Wood.
Kim?
Well, like I said earlier, I hated this entire episode until the last scene. And I was just like, yay, yay, yay. The whole last scene made this episode. There were bits and pieces I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. I hate the fact that Buffy's a guidance counselor or the youth, whatever she is in the school. It makes me upset. Because they had to, you know, manufacture that. But again, SOG, I understand it for the purpose of the story because she has to be back over there.
Well, I mean, yeah. You can look at it like that, or you can look at it like he went after her.
Second. Okay. No, they had to put her back in the school. Anyway, yeah, okay. That has nothing to do with anything, basically, is what I'm getting at. Spike was great in this episode. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big Spike fan. Let me rephrase that. I'm indifferent to Spike. People are like, oh my god, I love him so much. I don't hate him. I'm just like, Spike. But I thought he was great in this episode. So I was gonna give this 2 out of 10, really, because I was like, ugh.
Oh my gosh.
But the last scene was Crummy's balls. So it brought it back up to like a 7.5 out of 10. I thought it was so, so good. I'm going to give it 7.5 flip phones out of 10.
Nice. I thought this episode was refreshing. Dawn is someone I can actually stand seeing on my TV now. And mm-hmm. I actually thought she was doing really well in front of the class. I was actually kind of happy for her that she was being clever and smart, and it was weird. And you know, Willow and Giles, I loved every single millisecond of those scenes. I thought it was great. The principal is, oh, I can't wait to find out what's up with him. And the high school is back. And that last scene was so awesome. It was great. I'm going to give this episode 8.5 out of 10 soft serving Anyas.
Soft serving.
What did you give it? 8 out of 10?
8.5 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, I like Tammy. I prefer the first when, you know, they were sweet and innocent and naive. You know, that was so fun when they were teenagers. But when they do that, I feel like they're like talking out of both sides of their mouth, because just like when they added Dawn, I feel like they're saying, okay, the Scoobies are growing up. Mm-hmm. We're not kids anymore, but we added Dawn because we want the kids to watch. And Buffy's like in the real world, in the adult world with a job, but we're trying to keep her in high school so we can keep the kids watching. I feel like it's fake. I feel like it's contrived because they want the kids to watch. You know, or I guess they're just trying to build up a following for in case there could have been a spinoff. But anyway, I think that if anybody, I think that this episode was written very well for people who had been away for a couple of seasons who wanted to jump back in, and they were reintroduced to the characters really well, or if they just picked up the season, they knew, they could tell what was going on. But the fake Scoobies, the faux Scoobies, you know, that's just so weird. Like, they didn't develop their characters enough for them to even matter. They were just two bodies there that were Don's age. And the talisman that, like, that was so boring and don't know where it came from. So, I give it... I don't know. I'm so torn because I guess I give it 7 out of 10 hem news.
Hem news?
Hem news.
Awesome.
Awesome.
That's what we thought. And, you know, what we're thinking is cool, but you can obviously... I usually do this feedback thing after I say this, and now I'm all confused and tired. So, hey, I think it's time for quotes. Tammy, you want to go first?
Sure. It is the quote from the master. Right back to the beginning. Not the bang, not the word, the true beginning. The next few months are going to be quite a ride, and I think we're all going to learn something about ourselves in the process.
Oh, that's so exciting. That just made the hair stand up on the back of my neck.
Oh, a quick question, interrupting. How many episodes did Joss Whedon write in this season?
Oh, I would have to look that up. I don't remember.
Because he was kind of absentee in season 6.
Well, he's back because by this time Firefly is canceled.
Yeah, so is he like completely in charge?
Showrunner.
Well, season. I only see, like, just, and I'm just going by Wikipedia, the written by, I only see him having the season opener and the last episode.
Interesting. All right.
Cool. You got Jane Espenson, Marty Noxon, David Fury. People have been writing there for years at this point.
Cool. Anyone else want to, who wants to be number two quote? Kim? Kim, go Kim.
Well, that was my quote.
But not your one and only.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Is this your first rodeo, Kim?
Because I couldn't give a shit about this episode that I only wrote down the quote that I was like, yes! Because in the last 4 minutes was the only time I paid attention.
Oh, Kim.
What's the one earlier one? Something about how exactly do you make cereal?
Oh, you put the That'll milk next goal. To the...
So is that your quote, kind of?
Yeah. Sure. Dawn, breakfast is ready. I made cereal.
I felt the earth. It's all connected. It is, but it's not all good and pure and rootsy. There's deep, deep black. There's... I saw the earth, Giles. I saw its teeth. The hellmouth. It's gonna open. It's gonna swallow us all.
Yay.
I can't wait. That's gonna be awesome.
I like music. I'm very into Britney Spears' early work before she sold out. So mostly her finger painting and macaroni art.
The vampire. Excuse me. I think I'm stuck.
You never know what's coming. The steak is not the power. To serve man is a cookbook. I love you. Go away.
Awesome.
Anya, shouldn't all my demon friends be here? Halfrick, sweetie, they are. So sad. Oh, also, I found Sarah Michelle Gellar at the end of season 6 said in a press event, this was a little bit of a frightening year. A lot of shows were very strong, went out with a bang, but with a whimper. It is very important to us that eventually when it is time to go, that we go out strong. We don't want a show to be canceled that people say, oh, that should have been off 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she was already at the end of season six realizing, like, yeah, this was not going to mm-hmm. continue past season seven mm-hmm. for her. So, sorry, found it. I knew I had the quote somewhere from her.
Good app, guys.
Awesome. Hey, Tammy.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Where can we find you on the internets?
I am on Intro to X and X-Files Introcast. We are about to start our season six pretty soon here in the next couple weeks. That's so
awesome. Can you tell I hate season five?
I can tell.
I'm sorry I haven't sent in any feedback or volunteered for any guesting. I cannot stand that season.
I hope you're back for season six. We should be opening up those guest spots in the next couple weeks.
Pretty
here.
Awesome.
I'm excited. So I figure a movie comes out in between the two seasons. Season six has to bring it for a new audience. I would think they gotta kind of really bring it.
Are you guys thinking about doing a commentary for the movie or just talking about it?
I think we're just going to be talking about it. We actually have a fan fiction contest going on right now if you want to co-host, you can write us some fan fiction because for some sick reason, we enjoy X-Files fan fiction, but only the worst of the worst. And then I am on, I'm about to come back to the Walking Dead podcast once that season starts back up. So nice. That is on the DBM Empire network.
Empire.
So, yes, the Empire.
I am in the Empire also.
What?
Yeah, she is a fellow Empyrean.
Empress.
What's going on? What? I'm like so out of the loop. There's an Empire now.
There's a whole Empire with like all the shows.
If there's a television show, it's in the Empire.
Yeah.
Who runs this Empire?
David Fox Mullen. DBM.
Okay. Interesting. Did he used to be a senator?
I don't know if he had to be a senator first. All the questions. Steph, bring it up at some kind of Empire meeting. A gathering of the people in the Empire.
A moot?
Yeah. A moot.
Hey, Steph, what's on the slate for next time, which we are not recording right away?
Next time is Beneath You.
Hey, now.
It sounds like an interesting episode.
Does it? I hope it does.
It sounds pretty awesome. Hey, thanks, everyone, for listening. We appreciate your patronage. Until next time.
Namaste.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Gax. This is Bob DeGrand. I thought you'd probably get a lot of comments about Becoming, so I decided to send in some comments about after Season 2, or between Season 2 and Season 3. I thought it was fun to go back and listen to your Episode 0 to hear what you expected, and there were terms like campy and girly and it's not going to change my life, it's not going to be like Lost, and probably my favorite, that you should turn off your brain and be entertained. By now, I guess you know that there's something special going on here, and you realize just how evil Joss Whedon can be. It's not going to be as easy to shock you in subsequent seasons, as you now know what he's capable of. Even during season one, though, I doubt that you could have imagined that you'd find yourself liking Cordelia, or that Giles would be a badass, or that Angel would be both interesting and the big bad of season two. So on to season three. Not every season of Buffy is rip out your guts and stomp on them the way season two was. The seasons do have different feels to them. Obviously, after Becoming, there are a lot of loose ends to be tied up. Once that's done, it has an awful lot of good episodes, probably more than either season one or season two did. It also has a lot of great characters. It introduces about four of my favorite characters for the first time, as well as some very good minor characters. So I think you're really going to enjoy this going forward. As it is the senior year of high school, anything that you would expect to happen during the senior year will happen. So stay tuned and enjoy it.